In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Cain and Abel, the tax collector and the Pharisee. Two different stories, millennia apart. The same point. Man is justified by grace through faith, not by any works of the law. The point of the story is not how we are to live on this earth, but rather how one gets to heaven. Of course, we should not be extortioners, unjust, adulterers, murderers, tax collectors. Of course, we should abound in godliness and holiness as we eagerly await Christ to return. That's just not the point of these stories. Christ is teaching us who is justified and who is not. It's a very simple teaching, one that we have known since little on. We are saved by grace through faith because of Christ alone. But how easily we twist and confuse it. It's the reason why many Christians lapse in church attendance. Because they're still good, ethical, moral people, better than most, without attending church every week, so what's the point? It's why many people, unbelievers, fail to come in the first place. They're still good people, so what's the point of showing up and listening to some guy talk to me week after week? We must maintain that distinction between how we are saved and how we live on this earth. It's easy to confuse the two. Look at Cain and Abel. Cain is the firstborn son. His name literally means to acquire. All hopes and dreams are found in Cain. Eve, with the promise of a savior still ringing in her ear, sings at his birth, "I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. He will be the one to undo the curse. He will be the one to crush the devil. He will be the one to make this world a better place than what we did. And if it's not him, then at least he will pass the promise down to future generations." Meanwhile, Abel, the second born, his name means worthless. Eve does not sing at his birth because you don't need an Abel if you already have a Cain. You don't need a tax collector if you already have a Pharisee. The Pharisee is a good person, devoutly religious, more so than you and I could ever dream to be. He improves society, makes the neighborhood a good, safe place, maintains the good, fights against evil, works hard at his occupation, and does the things that good, upright people should do. He raises respectable, self-controlled, hard-working children. We want our sons to be like him and our daughters to marry him. We're proud when we acquire a Cain who can carry on the family name to future generations, who can build up a life for himself and doesn't need to sponge off others. We're proud when our children tell us that they go to church weekly, when they pray daily, morning and evening, that they have avoided the promiscuity and the sins of the youth or of college or of early adulthood, that they fast twice during Advent and Lent, that they're quick to clean the church, quick to help out where necessary, quick to do the tasks without asking for any praise from someone else. And there's nothing wrong with any of these things. There is nothing wrong with how the Pharisee lived, or even how Cain lived. But they confused how you live with how you get to heaven. So Cain's offering was not accepted. It has nothing to do with grain versus sheep. Cain thinks that he should be accepted because he's done all the right things, checked all the boxes, made the good decisions, and he can point to those houses and places that he has built and benefited others as proof. Same with the Pharisee. They confuse justification and sanctification. Yet no one will be justified by works. No one gets into heaven because he was a good person. Works cannot save. We know it. We've confessed it. You ask any Christian, and they will state it clearly. Hard to live by it. We easily confuse works and faith. We want to give our neighbor a little bit of a break because he really is a nice person. Our children still have good values, and they're just too busy to attend church weekly. And our friends are some of the nicest, hardworking people you will ever meet. Good. Indeed. Sincerely, thanks be to God that they help improve society. They're just not going to heaven. There's a difference between faith and works, justification and sanctification. It bears repeating often. No one will be justified in the sight of God by observing the law. No one will get into heaven by being a good person. Which means that hell will be filled with all sorts of kind, good, loving, helpful people who improved society, fought against abortion and other evils, fought for their country, loved their family, and was faithful and diligent in their tasks. And I might even add, who went to church weekly. So we must recognize the truth that tax collector so poignantly states. A sinner. Why can't our works save us or help us in the least? God have mercy on me, a sinner. None of us is going to claim to be perfect. And if you need examples of your sins, ask those whom you love the most. But add to that your good works, for Scripture says that all of our righteous acts are nothing but polluted garments. The good works that we do are good, but they're not perfect. Sin is still attached to each one of those. So you can't offset your sin with your good works, because those good works belong in your sins as well. And finally, that brings us to that third point, the sinful flesh. The sinful nature that you inherited from your parents is the most condemning, damning sin in you, far worse than murder. There is no hope for its reformation. There is no chance it will ever improve or get better in its relation to God. So there we sit. Sinners who fall into sin that have no good works that can make up for what we have done. You can cut off your hand, pluck out your eye, flee to the desert, move to a more moral part of the country, and you will never get rid of your sinful flesh. So we must recognize what we are, that we are like those worthless Abels, for our sinful flesh has made us so. Perhaps more importantly, this must be a daily exercise for us. We call that repentance. Recognizing what we are and why we still need Christ. It's easy to confuse justification and sanctification, faith and works, how I'm saved with how I live, because we are really good people who have done a lot of good things that we can point to. And where we have failed, we can also show how we have gotten better. So we won't make that same mistake twice. From our hearts, we pray with King David, Lord, forgive the sins of my youth. It's easy to confuse and to see little need for Christ because we are improving outwardly. So when Cain and the Pharisee looked at themselves, they saw good people who deserved heaven. When Abel and the tax collector looked at themselves, they saw sinners who needed a sacrifice. Cain and the Pharisee went to church because they're truly thankful for all that God had done for them. The tax collector and Abel went to church because they wanted God to give them the forgiveness of sins won by that sacrifice. Abel saw in his lamb the Lamb of God who would take away every sin. Maybe the tax collector is that typical tax collector who cheated and stole to make himself rich. Maybe not. Maybe he just got back from rescuing children from a burning building. And Abel's even more clear. We have no deeds whatsoever of what he has done. Nothing influencing our thoughts as to what he is, other than the second son, who offered a sacrifice trusting that God would save. They won't let justification be confused with sanctification. They won't let their works creep into faith. For Christ alone is the way to heaven. So Cain becomes a restless wanderer while Abel rests at his home in heaven. The tax collector goes home justified while the Pharisee is not. So whether you have saved abandoned puppies, improved society, abstained from immorality, built a business to benefit others, worked hard and were devoted to your family, made this world a better place, or this past week you had the worst immoral life you could possibly imagine, you are justified by grace through faith in Christ. Don't confuse how you are saved with how you live. We strive for godliness, but we are not justified by it. Christ's sacrifice alone is our justification. His blood alone covers over all of our sins, and not only our sins, but also our sinful flesh. It satisfies the very wrath of God, so there is no punishment left for us who are sinners. So you are justified because Jesus died for you. That's it. In Christ, the whole world is justified. Outside of Christ, no one is justified. And faith makes you in Christ. So don't confuse the two. Abound in good works, but do not live a lie by trusting your good works to get you to heaven. That is in part why you come here week after week, not to listen to me talk, but to listen to what is true, lest doctrine become fuzzy in our mind. We've all played telephone. We know how that goes. We know how history, even our own history, can become fuzzy the further we are from it. And we don't want to confuse the teachings of God because our very salvation depends on those teachings of God. So the point isn't to make ourselves feel bad that we are sinners. The point is to confess that we are sinners so we may be directed away from ourselves to the sacrifice of Abel, to the cross. It can be depressing, but that is why Christ is front and center and not you. So when you imitate worthless Abel and the sinful tax collector, you fix your eyes on the very sacrifice that alone saves. And when you see Christ, now you know why you are saved. Through him. Because his death is enough. God's death is enough to cover your sin. God's blood, God's sacrifice is enough to get you from this earth and into heaven. No one will be declared righteous in God's sight by observing the law. Thus you are saved by grace through faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.